Thank the Lord for His mercies. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see a good number here. Our number's off a little bit because we got so many traveling, but we're here and God knows what our need is and He'll supply that need according to His riches and glory. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 1 is where we will start, chapter number 1, verse number 1, and then we're going to be going back over. So if you have a copy of God's Word, also stick your finger or turn over to Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter number 30. Let me make this little disclaimer. Those that missed the youth event last night, it wasn't just a youth event. And I want to make that very clear from here out. Calvary was very poorly represented last night. There were far, far, far more visitors than there were Calvary folk. And I'm not beating you up. It's just that many of you thought that it was just a youth event. It's not. It was for whosoever will. And Brother Larry Key and Brother Larry Adams both brought a tremendous message from the Lord. Larry Key brought a message about no child left behind. He preached primarily on the rapture of the church. And I'm telling you what, both of those men of God blessed my heart. And from now on, if we have something, don't get hung up on the label. Labels belong on dog food cans and green beans. They don't belong on us, each other. A lot of times we'll label the charismatics, we'll label the Presbyterians, we'll label the Wesleyans, we'll label the non-denominational. They'll label us. Don't get hung up on labels. Just we call that a youth event. If you're a child of God, you're one of His youngins. And I just want you to know, because I know that Ola was calling Jeanette. Jeanette was calling me, and this one was calling that one, saying, can we come? If this door's open, unless it's strictly some private ceremony for something, you are welcome. So come on out and be a part of it. It is good to see you here. I looked around for visitors. We do have a few visitors here. If you count yourself a visitor, it's my hope and prayer that somebody has already made you feel welcome, because truly you are. This is the Lord's house. You're in His house. And let's just give Him praise today. We'll go ahead and stand in reverence of the reading of God's Word. We're going to read just a few verses out of the book of James, chapter number 1. Then we are going back over to the book of Psalm, chapter number 30. Little Malik read this scripture, or quoted this scripture that I'm about to read. He'll probably quote it better than I can read it. I'm going to have to get my glasses out. But it starts out and it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Flip over now while you're still standing in the book of Psalm. We'll go to chapter number, or division number 30 in the book of Psalm. Still a few pages turning. Everybody there, if you're there in Psalm 30, say amen.
Amen.
I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, for thou be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Brother John Shumate, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated, every one of us at some point in time has lost our song. Something of adversity has come in our direction. It could have been a church hurt. It could have been financial struggles. It could have been a spiritual battle. It could be any number of a million things that would trouble you. But I do want you to know this, that the Lord has not changed his position. And I want to help you this morning. Brother Varun opened up in our Sunday school class, and then he landed pretty much on the word joy. And that brought in James chapter number 1 in the remembrance of little Malik, and how that he had quoted that to me only on Friday whenever he come by the post office, or Thursday whenever they came by. And I'm telling you what, my friends, their joy in serving the Lord. Happiness seems to be a fleeting thing. Happiness seems to be that when you get a new toy, you play with it for a while. And then after the fun of it and the new of it wears off, you know, Robbie, when we got a new bicycle, the bicycle was propped up well on its kickstand, and we probably polished it and we made sure. But after 3 or 4 weeks or maybe a month or two, it's laying out there, no kickstand, laying in the rain, and it's just sitting out there tarnishing. That happiness that bicycle soon brought us, it's just subsided. It's gone away. And then you're looking for the new thing. My friend, there's nothing greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no new thing under the sun. The greatest thing that we could ever have will be the salvation in and of the Lord himself. And thank God for the young. I don't, she's already moved her place now. Honey, Kaylee, where did you go? Where's Kaylee at? Over back here behind me. I'm sorry. Honey, the greatest thing that could ever happen to you just happened to you. There's nothing greater beyond that particular time right there on the left-hand side of the altar in the front of Calvary Baptist Church, honey, when the Lord of all hosts moved into your life and took up his abode in your heart. Honey, that's the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen to you. And I don't want Satan and all his minions and the demons of hell to ever come to you and cause you to doubt your salvation. Bless God, you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take him back to that place and say, this is where I surrendered my all unto the Lord. And this is where I have my own Damascus Road experience. And bless God, rejoice in that. Bask in the sunshine of God's love. And go back to that place. And don't let the devil ever try to tell you that you're not saved. If he tells you you're not saved, you know what? The Bible said there's no truth in him. He is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. So if he tells you you're not saved, then the opposite has to be true. You are saved. And bless God, I want every one of us to get out of this thing. She does this thing called Bible babblings. And she did a thing about how to overcome your funk and your spiritual decline. And I want to help you guys this morning. I want to help myself this morning. I want every one of us under the sound of my voice this morning to be able, as the prayer just concluded, to rise to the highest height, to go to the furthest distance, to stand before this lost and untoward generation and let everybody know which side you're on. Bless God, Christ died for us, Brother Luke, and we ought to shout it from the rafters. We ought to sing it from the highest tower, and we ought to just let everybody know which side we're on. And that side is none other than the victorious side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been through battles, Brother Gerald. I know that. Every one of us undergo these battles, and you're going to undergo battles. But the Bible said you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Brother, temptations come. But with every temptation, the Bible says, what did he send with the temptation? The Bible said that he sends us a measure and a way of escape. And I want to take you, I'm going back to the scripture in the book of Psalm. I want to take you to a place. If anybody knew adversity, it was the man by the name of David. And that's why I went back there. And that's why I chose that verse where the Bible said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want your joy to be full. The Bible said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Bless God, walk in that strength, Brother Chris. Walk in the joy of Almighty God. And bask in his love. Brother Jody, troubles are coming. But if you'll remember this, weeping endureth for the night. Say that, weeping endureth for the night. But bless God, there's something beyond that. What happens then? Then comes the morning. My friends, we sing a song in the adult choir, then comes the morning. Brother Scott, it must have looked bleak on old dark Calvary's hill about the third hour whenever they took him. And then the sixth hour when the sun ceased to give her light anymore. And then about the ninth hour when they've taken him down and they wrapped him in grave clothes and they placed him in the bar tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. That had to be a dark day in humanity's history. But bless God, if they had read the prophecies of that of Isaiah, or they had read the prophecies of the old patriarchs of God, they would have seen, Brother Varun, hey, that this ain't the end of this story. This is not the end of it. Oh yeah, they killed the Prince of Peace. He gave his life willingly on a cross at Calvary. They wrapped him in grave clothes. They placed him in a tomb. I mean, darkness shrouded the land. Our hearts are heavy. Even the two, Cleopas and the other one that would walk along the Emmaus Road. Brother Kippy, everybody's hearts were down, and they were downtrodden. They were depressed. Why? Because this man, the very man that had took withered hands, the very man that had taken blinded eyes, the very man that would claim lepers from their disease, the very man that would look at the widow's son at Nain and get him out of his deathbed. I'm talking about that was the man that they had killed. Had to be a dark day. But early in the morning, long about the third day, the Bible said that Mary and Martha came bearing spices of precious ointments. And brother, what were they doing? They were going, the Bible says, to anoint the body. Brother, they were going to go cover the stench of death. They weren't looking for a risen Savior. Even though he had told them, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up. I will build it again. They didn't believe that. It was still darkness among the people. But Brother Jody, then came the morning. Amen. Bless God, the question was asked, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. Bless God, then come the morning, brother. Death had shrouded him, but bless God, the grave couldn't hold him. He didn't stay dead, and he ain't going to stay gone for long. He's coming back one day. And bless God, he'll rule and reign forever. Amen. Somebody today's heart's heavy. Somebody today's a little bit down. Somebody today needs a little bit of encouragement. And we're going to use the very scriptures of old and bring you back to a place of remembrance that the morning's coming. Brother Scott, the morning's coming. It's not far off. Just hang on. Brother Gerald, hang on. Go back with me. Let's take a little walk through the scriptures this morning. You're going to remember that David, a man after God's own heart, the apple of God's eye, a man that God loved, the man that God showed favor, God appointed Saul to be the king, but bless God, that was the horn of Jesse that went the horn of Samuel that went down to the house of Jesse and anointed that ruddy little lad by the name of David to become the second king of all Israel. David is now, I'm in the book of 1 Samuel, where are we going here? 2 Samuel. I want to start out 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. 2 Samuel, chapter number 12, we're going to find out that David was not unlike any of us. He let sin creep into his heart. You say, I don't have any sin. Then you need to go back and read your Bible, because the Bible said, for all his sin to come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, little children, write unto you that you sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. The Bible said, if any man say he had no sin, he deceives himself, the truth's not in him. He make God a liar, and God ain't no liar. Bless God, I know who the liar is. Let every man be a liar, but God's word's true, and God is truth. But David here, in this chapter, of the second Samuel, in chapter number 12, going into 13, the Bible said that there was a problem that come up in David's life. And I want to show you what happens. I want to show you, and I've said this before, that sin wouldn't be as attractive to us, Miss Sandra, if the payment was made right now. Have you ever heard that before? That sin would not be as attractive if the penalty or the payment was made at large right now? Why? Because 6:23 of the book of Romans tells us what that wage is. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. Brother, if that was paid immediately, we wouldn't be sinning. Why? Because we wouldn't want to die right now. God didn't put a period there. He put a little semicolon or a colon, depending on which Bible you got. I've seen them with both. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad that these scriptures all tell us about a joyful moment. And I want to take you here into the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. The Bible said that Nathan, as you know, the prophet Nathan went unto David and told him the story about the man that had one little ewe lamb. And this is after the sin of David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba is now great with child as she is pregnant. And David sends to the heat of the battle and brings Uriah, the Hittite, the captain of his guard, back and tries to make it look like it's his child. But Uriah, BJ, was so dedicated as a soldier of the king that he would not even go back to his own house. David got him drunk. David was all about getting this man back to his wife so that the child that she had conceived would look like it was that of Uriah. But no, that was a child that was conceived in adulterous relationship between Bathsheba and of David. Now we're in verse number 16. The Bible said, 15 and 16 of the Bible said, in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, and Nathan departed the house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in. And I want you to see where he's at. He said he lay all night upon the earth. Now, whenever I said that weeping may endure for the night, David is in a state of weeping. Why? Because the very child that he hath conceived with Bathsheba is about to lose its very life. This child has been smitten of God, and this child is about to be taken. So what does the king do? He gets very low. I mean, he is so low that he's probably, Brother Lewis, we get down and out and we get discouraged, but I can't imagine the word coming that you're about to lose a child. And as that word came unto him, there was a physical attribute attached to that child that it was about ready to pass away. But the king, he gets really low before God, Brother Chris. And the Bible said he laid there all night long. And bless God, that's where a lot of us are at today. We're laying there in sackcloth and ashes of our own misery and grief. We may not be doing it physically, Brother Lewis, but we're down there. Brother John, we get really, really low, and we'd go through periods of depression, and we go through this valley of indecision and this indecisiveness. It causes us to question our faith. It causes us to question our positions in the church house. It causes the position to question our calling of God on our life. It may cause you to question relationships or friendships or kinship. Bless God, don't let the devil do that to you. Look up, lift up your eyes, because morning's coming. Look what it says. And thank God for this beautiful verse of scripture. The Bible said that whenever David had got the word that the child was going to die and was no longer going to live, in verse number 22, it said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept, and I said in verse number 22, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now that he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I should not go to him. But I want you to hear this. This starts the process of the morning sun coming up. He said, I can't bring that child back, but I shall go to him. And bless God, where was the child? Y'all were awful quiet this morning. Is somebody going to help me preach? Brother John, there's a morning coming. Bless God, there is a resurrection morning. You said, well, yeah, I know, like Martha said, there are, you know, we'll see him again. Our brother had died, but we'll see him again in the resurrection. What did he say? Bless God, he said, I am the resurrection. Yes, darkness shrouds the land. When Lazarus was dead, their hearts were grievous. And what? Who did the crying there? The Lord did. Why? I'm about to bring Lazarus back from that place that he's gone to. All of a sudden, he calls out, Lazarus, come forth. And next thing you know, Lazarus levitates out of the rock. And they said, he said, now loose him and let him go. Oh, it made Mary and Martha happy. But you know, I wonder about Lazarus. He had already left. He's already in splendor. He's already escaped the turmoils and struggles of this life. I wonder about Lazarus. I wonder if Lazarus could have wrote a little barb in there and said, what'd you bring me back for? I wonder about these things. Still back in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. I'm not going to read it. I'll just summarize the story. Hannah's barren. Hannah can't have a child. Her womb's been shut up by God Almighty. Elkanah's blessing her. He's giving her the double portion. He's giving her the worthy portion. But that's not suffice. That doesn't help her. It doesn't satisfy her. Hannah's barren. Hannah gets so low. And Troy, she's grievous before the Lord. She cries out unto the Lord. She gets bitter at soul. Many of you might get bitter. Many of you may be determined that I don't know about this walk with Christ. I don't know about this newfound faith in the Lord. Let me tell you, don't question it. Just trust it. You don't understand it, but you can count it all joy when you fall into a diverse temptation. Count it all joy, because joy, bless God, it'll soon give way to patience. Patience, experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Brother, we're saved by hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. I will hit a high spot in that one. Going back to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. I want you to see this. In verse number 19, the Bible said they rose up in the morning. What happened? Morning came. I told you that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Here it was in chapter number 1, in verse number, 8 down through number 11. The Bible said that Hannah was just bitter. In verse number 10, she was bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord and she wept sore. I mean, she is in a valley. Weeping may endure for the night. And Hannah's in that valley. She's weeping. But then you turn the page and listen at this. The Bible said they rose up early in the morning, verse number 19 to the first chapter of 1 Samuel. And they worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. And the Lord remembered her. The sun's coming up. Amen. The sun's coming up in the morning. The weeping has to yield to the sunshine of God's grace and mercy and His love. And here it is. And the Bible said in verse number 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of Him." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that weeping does endure for the night, Brother Greg, but morning's coming. Hang on. Just stay in there and keep trusting in God. The sun will come up in your life again. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I don't mean to wear your Bibles out, but what better thing to do than preach the Word? What the Bible tell me in the book of 2 Timothy to do? Chapter 4, verse 1 said, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Would you rather me preach my humble opinion? Tim, you ugly. Oh, no, see, that would be my opinion. You don't never want me thinking you're pretty, do you? No, I don't want to either. We'll leave that to young Troy to preach that message about how... 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. You don't think there's some darkness shrouding this company? David and his men. Miss Cletha, David and all of his mighty men. They're fighting battles of God. They have departed Ziklag and scored great victories. And now they've came back. Weeping may endure for the night. Ziklag is smoldering. There's a smoke heap coming up. There's no women there. The laughter of the children, the frolicking and the playing and everything, Miss Melissa's gone. There's no laughter. There's no weeping. There's no laughter. Ziklag lays silent, and it's just in smoldering heaps of ruin. You don't think that'll get a man down? Look what happens to David. The Bible says in chapter number 30 of 1 Samuel, verse number 1, it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten. Ziklag was burned it with fire, had taken the women captive and that were therein, and they slew not any, either great nor small, but they carried them away and they went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. I want you to hear this. The Bible says in verse number 6 that David was greatly distressed. You understand, Brother Chris? He's not just distressed. The Bible said David is greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But I want you to see this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. If nobody else will encourage you, encourage yourself in the Lord. And I want you to hear this. David has wept, and he's just grievous. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought hither the ephod. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them?" And I want you to hear this. The Lord answered him. That was the weeping, giving part to the way of the joy that would soon come in the morning. The Bible said that David got up, he grabbed 600 men, there they go, going to march off to go recover the spoil. Read it for yourself down through there. The Bible said David, or 400 men, David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 abode, and 200 went forward down by the brook Besor. You say, what's that all about, preacher? I can't imagine anything worse than going home and maybe you go over into Green Acres, Brother Danny, and Miss Wanda was there when you left, and maybe Jenny and Jackie was over there. And you come home, and that place is just a heap of ruins and smoke ascending up, and you don't know what's going on. But then you find out that your wife and your kids have been kidnapped, taken away. You don't think that's going to make a man low? Listen, it could be physical. It could be spiritual. It could be any measure of things that could cause you to be low, Tim. I can't imagine you. Every time you get up, you get down. You're a modern-day Job. I looked at you. I saw the pronunciation of this and that and cancer and here and there. And next thing you know, you're laying up by a carp pond. And I'm thinking, what in the world's going on, Brother Tim? You're up, you're down, you're in, you're out. But you know what? You're still over here helping me preach. the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to hit just another couple places here, and then we're going to quit. I'm going over to Luke chapter number 24. One of the preachers that Chris and I read after all the time, we read a lot, and you should read a lot, but said if the scripture doesn't take you by the way of the cross, I wonder if you've really, really preached a gospel message. If you can preach a whole message, Troy never mentioned Jesus, I wonder if you really preached. You said, well, why didn't you just leave us back in the Old Testament? Because we're a New Testament church. And I want you to see that the struggles that the Old Testament saints had, they were New Testament problems as well. They're 2018 problems. Every single one of us is going to have a moment of darkness in our life. We're going to have these moments of adversity. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have divisions. We're going to have all these things that people face. But what you do with it, how you handle it, where do you go to for your help, that all determines the outcome. You can be big and brawny and try to handle it on your own, and I wonder how strong you really are when you crumble under it. You say, well, I'm going to give it to you, Pastor. You're a big, strong man. You can handle it. I can't handle your problems. I barely can help mine, Miss Kim. I can't. We have our own problems. You said, but yeah, you're supposed to help bear the burdens of many. So are we all. Bear you in one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God, the law of Christ. Brother, that's it. I can help you. But God's going to have to be the ultimate deliverer of your problems. Amen. Luke chapter number 24. Luke number 24. If you were to go back and read 23, you're going to find out in the very first part of in 23, Pilate tries Christ, Herod tries Christ, Pilate tries Christ again, then Christ is ultimately crucified with the two thieves, one on either side, the crucifix put over his head in letters of Greek and of Latin and of Hebrew, saying, "This is the King of the Jews." They took him down and they put him in the tomb in verse number 50 of the man named Joseph. They begged the body of Jesus. They put him in the barred tomb. But in verse number 24, I told you that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Look at verse number 1 of 24. When did it take place? Upon the first day of the week. When? Very early in the morning. They came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shiny garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." The Bible said they remembered his words. Going back to just a footnote from Wednesday night's message, I preached just a little bit on Simon Peter and how that the Lord had come to him, and they threw it right back up to him, said, he said, "Have you caught any fish?" And he said, "We've toiled all night long, we ain't caught any fish." And then he said, "I want you to launch out into the deep for a draught. Cast your nets on the right side. You know the scriptures." And they said, "Lord, we ain't caught nothing all night." But then he says these words, the word that I'm looking for is nevertheless. He says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets." I ended up that scripture right there. The Bible said in verse number 8, "And they remembered his words." I'm going back over to where Valak's up here somewhere. Valak's over here. Malak's back here. But I got Valak and Malak on my mind. Going back to the words that Malak quoted, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work." We talked about this in our Sunday school class. Gerald, your problem's not going to be fixed in a moment of time. It's going to take time. The problems that every one of us face, they're going to take time to work themselves out. You've heard it said that time is a healer. Well, who controls time? That belongs to God again. God is your ultimate healer. He is the great physician. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's everything. He is your peace, your hope, your healing. He's everything to you. But you just got to give it to him and let him work this thing out. It's not always quick. My brother Robbie, he said, I always open the microwave door with 4 seconds left. We couldn't wait 4 seconds. When we got a cell phone, Jenny, if you ain't got but one bar, you're like, this stupid phone. Where's you don't have time to wait. You can't. You don't have patience. You drive to a drive-thru and you want to get up to the window real quick. Why? Because you want your burger. And you don't care if it takes 1 second or 10. 10's too long. I want it in one. We don't have patience. But bless God, we've got to let God have his time and work these things out. Brother, the kid's saying he's still working on me. He's been working on me for 50 years. Plus, 51, I just had a birthday. I forgot. He's still working. Miss Macy, make your way over. Brother Lewis or Brother Scott, whichever was doing the altar. Let me just ask you, has the stress, the weeping, the enduring, what I'm talking about here is what I just read out of the book of Psalm, chapter number 30, that weeping may endure for the night. Is it more than you can bear? Is it stronger than you are? Somebody's told a lie many, many, many times by saying this. God won't put more on you than you can bear. That's a lie, my friends. God will give you as much as it takes to break you. God will give you as much as it takes to make you to get to him and where you actually rely on him and where you then can be conformed to the image of his son. I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. I ask you, are you not willing to just wait? The Bible says that tribulations worketh unto patience. Sometimes it just happens that way, Brother David. You're one of them. This year alone has been a very tumultuous and a very disconcerting. I mean, it's been a hard year for you. But bless God, it don't look like you've missed too many meals. You're still doing pretty good. You're still eating. You're still blessed. Anthony, I know. I looked at you the other day, and when you come in your uniform, you got more stripes on your arm than a zebra. You're still getting promotions. Everything's still going good. We've all got adversity. We do. You've got adversity. I look at your story, Brother Gerald. You yourself have adversity. I've seen you. I've watched you, brother, fall in the altar. But God's still God, and God's still good. I don't know how he's going to work all this stuff out, but I'm telling you, Johnson family, it'll be for God's good and his glory. His work can be perfected, and it will be. Luke, you ever have any troubles on the farm? Everything, y'all just got it going on down there, don't you? You never have a dry spell or a wet spell. All the seed pollinates, everything perfect down on the Mathis farm. No, you have adversities. You have struggles. We do, Robbie. Everything perfect in your world? Not so. Why? Because we suffer these things. Weeping may endure for the night. But Brother Larry, there's a morning coming. As we stand over the house this morning,